Well, amen. This morning, if we're going to keep going in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to pick that up, flip your Bible open. It should be pretty well worn at this point, just to fall open to Matthew chapter 13. My Bible really does do that. When I'm studying a certain book, it's almost like it's used to it, and it gets that memory to it, and it just opens up. So I hope that's where you are with your Bible this morning. If you remember, last week we talked about the parable of the treasure that was found in the field. And we also read about the pearl that the merchant went to look for, but we really focused on the treasure found in the field. And we talked about the two main ways that this parable is normally interpreted. All right, number one was this, real quick, was Jesus sees us as a treasure. And we have to realize that we are God's treasure. He gave up everything. Jesus gave up His place in heaven. He came down and ultimately He paid the highest price for you and me. And you wouldn't do that for somebody if they weren't your prized possession or they weren't your treasure. So that's one of the ways that we perceived, or sometimes it could be interpreted when you look at that passage. And I share with you the way that I looked at it and always have seen it until I really studied about it. I had never really realized that first one. I never really thought about it that way from this parable. But the way that I always looked at it, and the second main way that I think most people would look at it, is they find that Jesus is the treasure. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the true treasure. Once we find Christ, we are to hide the treasure within our heart. Nothing will ever separate us from that. We cling to it with everything we have. And we commit everything to, and who, everything and everything we have and everything we are, we commit it to Jesus Christ. Now, if you recall, we spoke about it. Either way that you look at this parable is not wrong. In fact, if you go back and we really think about what we talked about last week, you really have to come to the point where you believe both are true. Because you can't really consider Christ as your treasure if you don't believe that He gave His life for you because you're His treasure. Is that making sense this morning? So it should really apply to our life both ways. We are Jesus' treasure, and He should be our treasure. Well, today we're going to read in this parable the fishing net, and I think it's so awesome. I didn't get to watch it, but I got to watch just a few seconds of it before the service started. Lauren Reed is at the beach today, and you know what she was preaching on today, or she was teaching on, was being fishers of men, and she's at the beach doing her live stream still. And so we didn't plan that, but we're going to be talking about fishing today, and so God is just so good, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. But we're going to see that Jesus continues teaching about the kingdom of heaven. That's been the whole theme. Now, through all these parables we've been talking about, He's trying to make sure that we understand about the kingdom of heaven, that we really start grasping a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of wisdom, and a little bit of understanding of how great the kingdom of God is, what the truth about the kingdom of God is. So He's coming at it from all these different angles. Today He's going to be using a fishing net to describe the kingdom of heaven. And He's going to talk about this world in the present time, and the present time that He was living in, but also the present time that we are living in. And He's also going to give us some promises about the future. But He's also going to give us some warnings about the future. Depending on where you are with your walk with the Lord, depending on whether you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this could either be a promise for you today or it could be a warning for you today. Either way, we need to apply it to our life. So we're going to do things a little bit different. Before we start today, normally I'll read the scripture and then I'll pray. But I want to start with prayer today. Will you just pray with me today? And instead of us just bowing our head and just listening to me pray, let's really pray and let's talk to God today. Father, we just come to You today, Lord, realizing that our brains can't even fathom the kingdom of heaven. Our brains can't fathom the plans that You have for everybody that's here today, everybody that's listening online. We can't even, Your word tells us that we can't even think of the things that You could do. That the things that are impossible for us are never, they're impossible for us are never impossible for You. Lord, I just pray as we're getting ready to read Your word, Lord, that You would give us understanding of Your word today. It wouldn't be another church service. Lord, that our lives would never be the same, not because of the pastor, not because of the worship band, not because of the church or any of that, Lord, just because of Your word and Your Holy Spirit this morning. That we would accept it, that we would receive it, that we would listen to You, and that we would apply Your word to our life. And just like You asked Your disciples in this passage we're getting ready to read, that we would really understand. Because God, if You were standing here today, which we know Your Spirit is here, but Jesus, if You were standing here in Your man form, You would say this to us. Do You understand this morning Do you understand? And so, God, I pray that you would give us understanding today, that we would listen to your word, that it would penetrate our hardened hearts, and that we would listen to what you're telling us today. No matter where we are in life, no matter what season we're in, that we would listen and that we would understand your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 52. We're picking up right where we left off last week. The parable of the fishing net. 47 starts with, he says, again. See, here's Jesus preaching about the same thing again. So when you say, man, the preacher says the same thing every Sunday, Jesus did that too. All right, so it's okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but they threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things? Remember, Jesus is talking just to his disciples today, and he's talking to them. He says, do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do. Then he added, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. Have you ever been fishing? How many people, just to raise a hand, have you ever been fishing? I don't care if you would consider yourself a fisherman, if you've never caught anything, or you're like me yesterday, that every time you try to fish with like the expensive like bait casters and all this stuff, you end up spending the whole time like cleaning the knot out of your reel. You ever experienced that? You ever been like that guy, like, I'm just not a fisherman, right? I love to go fishing. I remember when I was a boy, me and my dad, we loved to go hunting and camping and fishing and all the things that we would do outside. And now that's something I've carried on that I enjoy doing with my children, especially me and Blake. As Grace has gotten older, she's a little more, doesn't really like touching worms and guts and all that, and that's okay. But me and Blake we spend a lot of time on our free time going out and fishing and going out and hunting and doing all those things out into the life and in the wildlife, because that's what me and my dad did. And I remember as a boy, my father had a seining net. If anybody knows what a seining net is, and I don't even know if that's really the official name for it, that's what we called it. And we would use it to catch minnows. So those of you that don't know what a seining net is, and we had, it was about maybe a 4 foot deep, 8 foot wide, really fine net that was made for catching the little tiny things in the creeks and all those things. And it had my dad's had a cane pole on either side of it, and it had weights on the bottom, and you would stick it on one end of the creek and you would put it on the other side of the creek bank. And then my job, which is why I always enjoyed it so much, was to go walk up the stream, and I would take cedar branches and run them under the, you know, the roots and all those things, and it would run all the minnows up, and my dad would scoop it up, and we would catch bait to go fishing with. And I remember that I actually had more fun catching the bait to go fishing than I did when we got out fishing. I was like, this is kind of boring. I want to get back in the water and play in the creek. So that was some of my best memories, was seining the minnows and using that net for fishing. And that was only just the beginning of the fishing trip, but that's what always stuck out in my mind. I used to love to see what the net would have in it when my dad would pull it up out of the creek. And I just couldn't wait. I'd go sorting through it, and I just couldn't wait to see what all we had caught. There'd be minnows of all sorts and sizes and colors and shapes. There'd be crawdads sometimes. Some of y'all might call them crayfish, but I always called them crawdads. That's what you call them in the country, right? There were crawdads. Sometimes there'd be tadpoles or like little mad toms. And sometimes there would even catch those little salamanders that hang out on the bottom of a creek. But once the net was full, we would put the good minnows in our minnow bucket, the ones we really wanted, the ones that were that we went there for, and the others were cast back into the water. They were released back into the water. So when Jesus teaches this parable, instead of me thinking about a net on the back of a shrimp boat or a net on the back of a huge fishing operation, what my mind automatically goes to is that little seine net. That little seine net in a creek on Kids Dairy Farm in Scottsville, Virginia, where me and my dad would seine minnows together. You see, I believe this is what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to bring his words, bring his parables into our life personally. What is God speaking to you today when we read the Word? When you go through the parables, what do you relate it with? Because that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to relate it to our lives. And I believe Jesus wants to bring the teachings that He has to each one of us personally. And as we just read, we know that Jesus wants us, and His desire and His heart is for you to understand His teachings this morning. Not just to say, oh, Pastor, that was a pretty good sermon, which I hope it ends up being a good sermon. But even if it isn't, you know what? I hope and I believe God hopes this morning that you understand what Jesus is telling us today. That I understand when I read the Bible, that I understand what God is telling me. He wants to apply it to our life. You can't make this stuff up. Yesterday, me and Blake actually went fishing. We were going to go catfishing, so we went out with some little hooks and worms, and we were going to catch some little brim or some sunfish. And we could not, normally we just go to this place and we fill them up. And we just fill the bucket up within 5 minutes and we go catfishing on the river. We couldn't get them to bite anything. And I was getting frustrated, and this guy walks up, complete stranger. I met him, his name is Rob. We had a good talk, and his son reminded me of my daughter Lily. He was wide open. And the dad was more worried that his son was going to hook us on accident. So he kept telling us to leave us alone. I said, it's okay. And he said, what are y'all fishing for? And I said, we're just looking for bait. And he said, well, I've got a throw net in the back of my truck. Let me grab it real quick. And do you know, with just a several casts of that throw net, we caught all kinds of stuff. And we ended up doing things exactly what Jesus is talking about that I could relate. And I told him, I said, man, this is what I'm preaching on tomorrow. I'm a pastor, and we got to talk about it. And we sat there and we sorted through the net, and we put the good fish in the bucket that we wanted, and we sent the best and the worst ones back. That's what Jesus is telling us about that's going to happen, and that the kingdom of heaven is going to bring to earth at the end of the world. Matthew 13, 4. Let's look at verse 47 and 48 again, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to read it again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it onto shore. They sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but they threw the bad ones away. So here's Jesus describing the kingdom of heaven in a different way than what we've heard before. He uses this fishing net to illustrate the kingdom of heaven and the gospel message, but he also uses it to talk about the end of the world. He uses the water or the sea, depending on what translation you have, as the world. And the fishermen, or the people who are actually throwing the net, is Christ Himself, number one, but it's also to be us, the followers of Christ, the disciples of Christ, His followers. And of course, the fish, as we know, are the people. They represent the people. So here is this picture of a fishing net, if you will, being tossed into the world, and Christ and His true followers should be actively going out and throwing the net out into the world. And I found it interesting to think how often Jesus uses the illustration of fishing for people, right? We know when He came upon Peter and Andrew, which is, I believe, is what the children's message was about today. What did He tell them? What did He tell them when He came upon Peter and Andrew and they were there on the side of the Sea of Galilee? He said, come follow me and I will show you how to be fishers of men. Right? He said, come follow me and I'm going to show you how to fish for people. I'm going to show you a whole different skill set than you ever knew before. You see, Jesus didn't tell us and didn't teach them. He didn't say, come with me and I'll teach you how to be a good church member. I'll teach you how to be a good Baptist or maybe a good religious person. That's not what He told them. He said, I will teach you to go out and fish for more people to add to the kingdom of heaven. That's what He was telling them. And I believe He picked these guys because He knows that being a fisherman is not an easy job. Now, I'm not talking about the way that I fish. My idea of fishing is putting some bait on a hook, throwing it out, and kicking my feet up on the side of my boat until something bites. And if nothing bites, we go, oh, we still had a good time out on the river. If you're doing that for your livelihood, oftentimes, you're out on the sea when most everyone else, including your family, is at home in bed. They spend hours upon hours on the water. It's their complete life. And when they're on shore, it still consumes them because they're working on their boat. They're getting their gear ready. They're mending their nets. In fact, two of the disciples, that's what they were doing when Jesus called them. They were on shore, but they were mending their nets. See, Jesus isn't calling us into a retirement plan, church. That's what we have to remember. We don't receive the gospel. We don't receive the Holy Spirit. We don't receive salvation to say, oh man, I'm good. Check that off the list. Now I can go to heaven and I can be forgiven and I can chill and I can have that retirement plan. No, He's calling us into work for Him. Being a fisherman of men, fishing for people is a hard career, and it's a hard life to choose. But he wants us to be active in the water, casting the net as much as possible. And I believe that if we're really ready to start doing that today, if you are really saying, man, today God is really laying on my heart, I really need to be a disciple of Christ. I really need to go out and really cast the net and fish for people more. Or maybe you've been doing it for years. Either way, when we look at this passage today, I believe there's four things that we need to remember. Just in this first part of the scripture that we read, there's four things that we're going to have to remember if we're going to go out and be fishers of men. Number one is this. The net, if you cast it out, it's going to gather all kind of fish. Yesterday, we cast it into the water looking for little bait fish, and we caught one of those garfish, with the big, it looks like a swordfish for fresh water. And it was one of the coolest things. But that's not what we were there for, so we threw it back. The net is going to bring in all kinds of people, different walks of life. It doesn't matter how they dress. It doesn't matter how they look, how they smell, where they grew up, what language they speak, what color of skin they have. We must be open. And not only must we be open, we must expect and we must be ready for the church to be filled with every kind of fish. Person, if you will. We don't really want a bunch of fish in the church this morning.
Not in the church.
That's right. Number two, the net is going to be filled up. There is coming a time where the net is going to be filled. That's a promise that Christ gave us. If you've ever been fishing at all, but especially with a net, which I don't have a whole lot of experience with it, but you know that sometimes you'll catch just a few. Sometimes you'll catch a whole lot. It'll be so big you can't pull it in. And other times you may catch nothing. I always tell Blake, he's like, and Lily too, we like to fish together, and he'll say, man, we're not catching anything. And you ever notice, like, your parents get on your nerves as you grow older? My teenagers already get on their nerves. I know that. But I find myself saying the same things that my parents said to me, to my teenagers, when I used to, like, I can't believe my dad's telling me this again, whatever. But now I do the same thing. And my dad used to always tell me, he'd say, son, that's why they call it fishing, not catching, right? And if you caught something every time you went, and the same thing with hunting, he said, that's why they call it hunting and not killing, because you're going out and hunting the deer or hunting the fox or whatever you're hunting. And so fishing is called fishing, not catching. But either way, whether you have a full net all the time or whether you go out and you're fishing, you're throwing the net and you're not catching anything, our job is to keep on fishing, to keep on going out and spreading the gospel. Because even when we don't see it, the gospel is working. God is working through our casting the net. God is working as we're going out and preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel, maybe living the gospel with our life, like I was talking to the youth group at Sunday school this morning. Isaiah 55:11 says this, in the same way, it is the same way with my word. Now this is a picture, this is God speaking to us this morning through the prophet Isaiah. It is the same way with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. He didn't say sometimes. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. You see, somebody, numerous people have asked me on Sunday mornings or sometime later on, they'll come up to me and they'll say, does it bother you if maybe you're passionately preaching and you preach your heart out and you get emotional and you really know that God laid a message on your heart and you stand at the end of the, at the front of the service at the end, you say, come if God is calling you. Does it bother you when nobody comes? And I said, it used to, and still sometimes it does, but it used to bother me for a different reason. See, it used to bother me because I thought, am I not doing a good job? Is my preaching not good enough? Or it was all about me. But the longer that I become a pastor, the longer that I have become someone who preaches the gospel, the more I realize that Isaiah 55:11 tells me what my job is. My job is to send out the word. Now, it still bothers me when nobody comes forward, especially when I feel the Spirit tells me there's somebody here that needs to hear this morning. And I know that they're not responding like I used to do when I would go to church. I shared about that last week. So it bothers me, but it doesn't bother me to the point where I get discouraged and I'm going to quit preaching the gospel. Because I know, Isaiah tells us right here, he says, it will accomplish all I want it to. See, God's timing is not my timing. So when I keep preaching the gospel to you, one of these days, God's working on you and he's working on you. One of these days, he's going to say, it's time. It's time for you to commit your life to me. This guy is ready. This girl is ready. You see, I just have to believe in the promises of God. If you're going to be a fishers of men, If you're going to be someone who's going out casting the net, trying to bring more people into the kingdom, you got to believe the promises of God this morning. Otherwise, you're going to give up every time your net comes back empty. You're going to say, what am I even doing this for? I just need to believe that God will draw the net in when it's in His timing and when it's full. I just need to keep on fishing. That's my job. That's your job. Number three, the good fish will be kept. They said they'll be put in the container. They'll be kept. So if you're a believer in Christ, if you've called upon Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, you've repented and you've turned your life over to Him and you have been born again, you need to remember daily that you're a keeper. All right? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have you ever seen the bass tournaments where the guys, they wait and they have those live wells in their bass boat and they wait till they've got the screen behind them and they're up there in front of everybody. And what do they do with the keeper? The ones they caught, they pull them out in this dramatic pull up and they pull it out and water flies and the fish flops and they got this big bass up there, whatever, and everybody cheers for them and they announce the weight of them. This is how I picture each one of us who are believers in Christ. Christ is just waiting to raise us up on that day and say, look at my keeper. Look what I caught in the tournament. Look what the net brought in. You have to remember daily. I have to remember daily that I'm a keeper in God's eyes. In fact, you need to remember daily that you're already a part of the kingdom of God. You're already a part of the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. What did Jesus say? He said, your will be done. Right? As it is in heaven, I want it done right here on earth, just like you do. I want kingdom of heaven to come here. You need to remember, we need to remember, if we're a believer in Christ, that we're already a part of the kingdom of heaven. So how can I say that? How can I say that this morning? Well, if you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you have His Spirit, the same Spirit the Scripture tells us that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. It lives inside of you. Guess what? God wants you to live for the kingdom right now. God wants to use you to use that Spirit to go out and to cast your net and to live for Him right now. He doesn't give you that just so you can make it into heaven. He wants to give you just a little taste of what the kingdom of heaven and how powerful it really is. Right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. Do we still live in an evil world? Do we still live in a world that's controlled by evil? Yes, absolutely. But we are to be the children of the light. That's what the Scripture tells us. We are really supposed to be the ones who bring the kingdom of heaven to the darkness. I think about the net, that seine net even, or even another net. It's got those weights on it, and it goes to the deepest, darkest parts of the sea, to the water. And that's exactly what we should be willing to do. And that brings us to the fourth point that I think we need to remember if we're going to be fishers of men. The bad fish, the evil in the world, one day it's going to be cast aside and it's going to be thrown away. The fish that were dead yesterday, there was a couple little minnows. They don't really ever make it through the whole net process. We threw them back. The fish that were unclean, that we're going to eat, if we're going to eat some fish and you bring them in and they look like they've got a sickness or disease, they're not healthy, you throw them back. The fish that were the wrong kind that we weren't looking for, like the gar fish that we caught, that's not what we came to catch in the net, we throw it back. You see, Jesus is telling us in this parable that the bad fish will be separated from the good fish. Now, before I go get ahead of myself, this leads us right into verse 49 and 50. So look back at verse 49 and 50 because I could get lost and start preaching on it before we read what God or what Jesus says about it. So who will do the separating? Who will do the judging when it's time to draw in the net? Well, look what God's Word tells us. Look at verse 49 and 50. It says, that is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here is Jesus giving those who are already believers a great and awesome promise that we need to cling to this morning. But at the same time, He's warning those who are still living for the world, who are still following the evil one. Because Jesus told us we're either going to love Him and we're going to hate the world, or we're going to hate the world and we're going to love Him. So which one are you today? Are you receiving this as a promise? Are you receiving this as a warning out of love? Jesus doesn't want you to end up in a place where there's gnashing teeth and a fiery furnace. That's why He's giving us this warning this morning. You see, at the end of the world, the angels are going to come down and they're going to execute God's perfect, listen church, and righteous judgment. It's not possible for us to do that, but God and His angels can. You see, when the net is still in the water, it's hard to distinguish what's in the net. Yesterday, I had no idea what kind of fish was in that throw net when he was pulling it in. I had no idea there was something this big when we were just going for the little ones. When it's still in the water, you don't know. But when the net is full, that Jesus just told us, it will be brought ashore. And this is where the separation will occur. This is where, at the end of time, where God will separate those who are evil and those who are good in Christ. See, sometimes we can get so upset. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the evil things that are happening around us. Somebody needs to hear this morning, because God laid this on my heart this morning. I just made a little note in my outline. We get so wrapped up in all the negativity. We watch Fox News. We watch CNN News. We watch this. We look on Facebook. We look on Instagram and all whatever. And we see all the negativity of the world. We hear all the things that are going on. We see all the corruption in the politics. All the garbage that's on the news. It's all on the front page. And we start to lose faith and we get discouraged. I don't know if you heard what Jesus said or not, but he said, for those who are the bad fish, those who never repent and turn to God, they're not being tossed back into a pretty little stream at Kids Dairy Farm in Fluvanna County. No, they will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So instead of us fighting the evil all by ourselves, we should be preaching the gospel. Instead of us focusing on all the evil and the negativity in the world and letting it drain us, we should be going and counteracting that with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because a day of judgment is coming. And if we're a true believer in Christ, we don't want anybody to experience the fiery furnace, no matter how bad they are. So instead of us fighting against them, we should be preaching the gospel to them. In fact, Jesus taught a lot about the judgment day. At the end of the world, in the end of the world. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32, he says, all the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Luke chapter 17, verse 34, says, that night two people will be asleep in bed, one will be taken, and the other will be left. Matthew chapter 18, verse 8 and 9 says this, so if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with one hand or one foot than to be thrown into the eternal fire with both of your hands and feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to enter into life with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fires of hell. Those aren't my words, and I'm not just standing up here preaching fire and brimstone or whatever we call it. This is what Jesus is telling us. And he's promising us these things, and he's warning us this morning. You see, if Jesus preached it, then so should we, right? If Jesus says it, if Jesus did it, this is what we're supposed to be doing as a church, as a pastor. I'm supposed to preach what Jesus teaches, not what I think, but what he said. Now, where a lot of Christians get off track with this is where we have to be careful, is when they forget that their job is to cast the net, right? Our job is not to go out and do the judgment. Our job is to cast the net. And remember, if it's the angels' jobs, the angels of God who are perfect and holy to do the judgment and to do the sorting. It's not our job to determine who's a keeper and who's a throwaway. That's not for us to judge. Because you know what would happen if that was up to us? You know what we would look at? We would look at the outward appearance of somebody and we'd cast them out. That's what the human nature would do. That's what our selfish desires would do. That's what our sinful nature would do. But see, that's not how God looks at it. We would look at somebody even because of all their evilness, even their crookedness and the things that they have done, and we'd say, man, they don't deserve it. But that's not the way God looks at it. It's not our job to determine who's a keeper and who's to be a throwaway. Ask the Apostle Paul. We talked about it with the teenagers this morning. The worst of them all, and look what God used them for. Our job, church, is to allow God to keep using us to fill the net. So church, that's us, Christians, this morning. We must remember these things if we're going to be fishers of men. These four things, we have to remember them if we're going to go out and be for the long haul. And we're going to say we're going to commit our lives to be fishers of men and cast the net. So let's look at verse 51 and 52 as we close. Jesus says this, do you understand all these things? You know, I almost made this into a separate sermon. I was breaking it down this week. And I said, that needs to be a whole other sermon. I almost stopped But I feel like the God spoke to me this week and said, you need to make sure that everyone understands this. Because that's what Jesus was doing. Do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do. Then he added, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. Now these two verses, like I said, they could have been a whole nother sermon. But what I feel like God wants us to focus on this morning is just verse 51. Do you understand all these things that we've talked about this morning? Do you understand all these things? Listen this morning, church. If we are applying God's word to our life and we are trying to become a doer of the word, we must see that Jesus is not just asking his disciples this question. It's not just a story we read about that happened 2,000 years ago. God is asking us this morning the same question. Christ is asking you today, do you understand this about the kingdom of heaven? If the answer is yes, like the disciples, good. Then listen to what Jesus says here. He compares the disciples to these religious leaders, and normally he's rebuking them, right? But in this instance, he says, be like the religious leaders, because not because of their religion, but because of their devotion to the religion. They were devoted. They were fully devoted. You got to give them that. Even though their hearts were kind of messed up, they were devoted and they thought they were doing the right thing, and they were devoted to it. They were devoted to studying the scriptures and looking at the word of God. And then he compared them to an owner of the house who had a treasure in the storehouse. And Jesus was reminding them, and he's reminding us, that we have a treasure in our storehouse, and we're to go out and we're to share it and bring it out into the world to other people. So if you understand the gospel, if you've received it, if you've been forgiven and you've received the gift of eternal life, why in the world would you not share it with someone else? Why in the world would you be selfish enough to keep that to yourself? Think about that for a minute. I can't remember the exact quote, but I remember reading a book by A.W. Tozer, and he said this. He said, well, I think it was him that said it. I might even be quoting the wrong person. Either way, I read a book and it said this. He said this. If we really believe hell is as bad as what it really is, and we really believe that heaven is as good as it is, we should be willing to crawl across a sea of broken glass just to share it with one person. That's the kind of commitment we should really have if we really believe what we say we believe. And I would encourage you today to know that God wants you to, he wants to give you understanding. So if you're here today and you say, well, I really don't understand all this. I'm new at all this, and I haven't really ever read the Bible a whole lot. And even when I do read it, I don't understand it. There's no shame in that. I would encourage you today that God wants to give you understanding. But you have to humble yourself and come and ask for it. James chapter 1 verse 5 says this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. What a sweet part of passage of the scriptures we have right there. God's not going to rebuke you. He can handle your questions this morning. He can handle your request this morning. Everybody has to start somewhere, right? Everybody at one point had to open up the Bible and say, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I know I need to read it. In fact, God delights when somebody starts in that beginning phase of their faith. When they start to just fall in love with God. God delights in that. And he's up there and he's smiling. Listen to what God's word says. I promise we're closing. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, the first part of this passage, it says this. Do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see his work begin. God wants to start building his temple in you this morning. And if just all you got this morning is just to say, I want to start somewhere, and I want to start with that little cornerstone, or I want to start breaking ground on this temple that God wants to build in my life. He loves when that ground is broken. God delights in it. He rejoices to see the work begin in your life. So there's no shame in not having that understanding. So before we leave here today, I want to ask you this, and I believe Jesus is asking you this in this scripture. What fish are you today? Have you come to Christ? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you repented and turned to God? Have you been spiritually born again? If so, great. Then you should have no fear of death. You should have no fear for the end of the world to happen. You shouldn't be focused on the evil in the world, because when the net is drawn in, Jesus just told us, you're secure. You're secure, and your eternity with Christ is secured. You'll be pulled aside for Him. And the angels of God will handle all the evil and the evil things that are happening. But if you have not come to Christ this morning, I pray with everything in my heart that you will make that decision today. Nobody can make it for you. You know, I think about the fish that were in that net. I think about the fish in the net, the ones that were the keepers. There was all kinds of different fish that were in there, in that net. And some of the ones that weren't keepers, they were right beside the ones that were. But guess what? When the net was drawn in, they got thrown back. Rubbing elbows with godly people isn't enough. Your grandmother being a Christian, your grandfather, or your dad being a deacon in the church for years, and your role being, and your name being on the church roster, being close to the other fish, doesn't cut it. Each one of us have to make a personal decision for Christ in our heart. Jesus told us the unfortunate fact that if you do not do this, you will be cast back. And weeping and gnashing of teeth in a furnace is real. It's real because the Bible tells us it's real. But I want to promise you this morning, so is the eternal life with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven. They're equally as real this morning. The choice is yours. Where will you be and what fish will you be when the net is drawn in? Because we don't know when it'll be drawn in. If you're ready to make a decision for Christ this morning and you need prayer, or maybe you just need prayer to this morning and you just need to share something with the congregation that God is doing in your life, whatever it is, when we sing this closing hymn, man, don't choke the Holy Spirit. He's not going to make you do it. Listen to what He's telling you. Understand what God is calling you to this morning and receive it. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing. The invitation is for you this morning. Come as we sing.